This morning, we're going to talk about money. I don't know, there's kind of a curious thing on the on your dollar bill, or actually on the 10 and the 20 and the 5. What do you think I'm talking about? In God we trust. Well, the question is, do we trust God or do we trust the money? It's kind of an odd thing to put on our money. I'm assuming they mean that this money is going to be blessed by the Lord and be worth something. I don't know. I'm not sure. But we do need to consider, who do we trust? Maybe I should have made that the title of the message. Who do you trust? Share some a story here with you. One of the richest men in the world was oil tycoon Paul Getty. He was being interviewed in London. He was asked, if you retired now, would you say your holdings would be worth $1 billion? And Getty paced up and down the room and mentally adding, and finally he said, well, I suppose so. But remember, $1 billion doesn't go as far as it used to. Another little story here. This was from Toy Story's Man and Dame. The hero is told he can have the right to all the land around which he can plow a furrow in a single day. The man started off with great vigor and was going to encompass only that which he could easily care for. But as the day progressed, he desired more and more. He plowed and plowed until the end of the day. He could not possibly get back to his original departure point. But he struggled to do so and fell victim to a heart attack. The only right he secured was the right to 18 square feet of land in which he was buried. People today equate money with wealth, happiness, power, leisure, less worries. Now, an adequate amount of money to keep you from not being in poverty will supply those things. But beyond what it takes to keep you from being in absolute poverty, it doesn't make you any happier. However, we are led to believe that it does. It seems people today in the world are craving money more than anything else. It's an obsession. They worship it. Some doctors worship it, many lawyers worship it, many preachers worship it. Many religious leaders invest God's money in the stock market. Bankers worship it. Actors, musicians, Wall Streeters, businessmen, and in the merchants that is referred to in Revelation are the people that are in business and make money their single goal in life. When you play the lottery, you're worshiping money. There's even TV shows, How I Made My Millions. It's a series where they have people in there and they talk about how they made their millions of dollars. Nearly everyone seeks it more than anything else. Now, I want to share with you this from a Christian writer, Ellen White. And this is from a book, Testimonies, Volume 1, and starting in page 347. I was shown this earth, and the angel said, look carefully. I was shown the people upon the earth. Some were surrounded with angels of God. Others were in total darkness, surrounded by evil angels. I saw an arm reach down from heaven, holding a golden scepter. On top of the scepter was a crown studded with diamonds. Every diamond emitted light, bright, clear, beautiful. Inscribed upon the crowns were these words, all who win me are happy and have everlasting life. Below this crown was another scepter. Upon this also was placed a crown, in the center of which were jewels of gold, silver, reflecting some light. The inscription upon the crown was, "Earthly treasures, riches is power. All who win me have honor and fame." I saw a vast multitude rushing forward to obtain this crown. They were clamorous. Some in their eagerness seemed bereft of reason. They would thrust one another, crowding back those who were weaker than they, trampling upon those who fell, who in their haste fell. Many eagerly seized hold of the treasure within the crown and held them fast. The heads of some were as white as silver. Their faces were furrowed with care and anxiety. Their own relatives, bone of their bone, flesh of their flesh, they regarded not. But as appealing looks were turned to them, they held their treasure more firmly, as though fearful that an unguarded moment they should lose a little or be induced to divide with them. Their eager eyes would often fasten upon the earthly crown and count and recount its treasures. Imagines of what of want and wretchedness appear in that multitude, and looked wishfully at the treasure there, and turned hopelessly away as the stronger overpowered and drove back the weaker. Yet they could not give up, but with a multitude of deformed, sickly, and aged, they sought to press their way to the earthly crown. Some died seeking to reach it. Others fell just in the act of taking hold of it. Many had but just laid hold of it when they fell. Dead bodies strewn the ground, yet on rushed the multitude, trampling over the fallen dead bodies of their companions. Everyone who reached the crown possessed a share in it and was loudly applauded by an interesting company standing around it. A large company of evil angels were very busy. Satan was in the midst of them, and all looked with the most exulting satisfaction upon the company struggling for the crown. He seemed to throw a peculiar charm upon those who eagerly sought it. Many who sought this earthly crown were professed Christians. Some of them seemed to have a little light. They would look wishfully upon the heavenly crown and would often seem charmed with its beauty, yet they had no true sense of its value and glory. While with one hand they reached forth for the heavenly, with the other they reached eagerly for the earthly, determined to possess that. And in their earnest pursuit for the earthly, they lost sight of the heavenly. They were left in darkness, yet were anxiously groping about to secure the earthly crown. Some became disgusted with the company who sought it so eagerly. They seemed to have a sense of their danger and turned from it and earnestly sought the heavenly crown. Their countenances, as such, soon changed from dark to light and from gloom to cheerfulness and holy joy. Then I saw a company pressing through the crowd with their eyes intently fixed upon the heavenly crown. As they earnestly urged their way through the disorderly crowd, angels attended them and made room for them to advance. As they neared the heavenly crown, light emanated from it shone upon them and around them, dispelling their darkness and growing clear and brighter until they seemed transformed and resembled the angels. They cast not one lingering look upon the earthly crown. Those who were in pursuit of the earthly mocked them and threw black balls after them. These did them no injury while their eyes were fixed upon the heavenly crown, but those who turned their attention to the black balls were stained with them. Now that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Can you see a picture of the world today as everyone is out there chasing the almighty dollar, all the while the close of probation is happening. I'll give you some explanation as to what this was all about. I'm sure you have ideas you formed as I was sharing this with you. Then that which I had seen was explained to me as follows. The multitude who were so eagerly striving for the earthly crown were those who love this world's treasure and are deceived and flattered with its short-lived attractions. Some I saw who profess to be followers of Jesus are so ambitious to obtain earthly treasures that they lose their love for heaven and they act like the world and are accounted of God as of the world. We don't want to be in that. They profess to be seeking an immortal crown, a treasure in heaven. That's what they claimed to be Christian. But their real interest and principal study is to acquire earthly treasure. Those who have their treasures in this world and love their riches cannot love Jesus. They may think that they are right, and although they cling to their possessions with a miser grasp, they cannot be made to see or to feel that they love money more than the cause of truth or heavenly treasure. The men whose heads were white with age and whose faces were furrowed with cares, yet who were eagerly grasping the treasure within the crown, were the aged, who have but a few years before them. Yet they were eager to secure their earthly treasures. The nearer they came to the grave, the more anxious they were to cling to them. Their own relatives were not benefited. That's interesting. You would think the older you get, you would start turning your thoughts towards heaven if you never had at any point in your life. But evidently not everybody feels that way, especially if you've spent your whole life chasing money. When their duty to relieve the wants of the poor and to sustain God's cause are presented before them, they are sorrowful. I don't want to hear that. Gosh, I have to give some money. They would gladly accept the gift of everlasting life, but are not willing that it should cost them anything. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Abraham would not withhold his only son. In obedience to God, he could sacrifice this child of the promise more easily than many would sacrifice some of their earthly possessions. Abraham was a type of God the Father, and Isaac was a type of Christ. And he was willing to sacrifice his son. Didn't have to, but he was willing to do it. God the Father sacrificed his son in purchase for us. And Jesus told the young man that came to him that time and asked me, "I keep all these commandments, what must I do?" Jesus perceived that he loved money. He said, "Go sell all you have and follow me." And then he walked away sorrowful. Sorrowful that he couldn't keep his possessions. It's because Jesus knew that this man had a problem with covetousness and selfishness. He wanted his money. It was painful to see those who should have been ripening for glory and daily fitting for immortality exerting all their strength to keep their earthly treasures. Their strong afflictions for the earthly caused them to show by their works that they do not esteem the heavenly inheritance enough to make any sacrifices for it. People of the world living for the worldly gain, not even considering the cost, the purchase of their souls to be in heaven, what that cost. Totally unappreciative, totally living for self. The young man manifested a willingness to keep the commandments, yet our Lord told him that he lacked one thing. He desired eternal life, but loved his possessions more. Many are self-deceived. They have not sought for truth as hidden treasures. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. Such, said the angels, are without excuse. I saw the light waning from them. They did not desire to stand the solemn important truths of this time, and thought that they were well off without understanding them. Let me read that again. They did not desire to understand the solemn important truths for this time, and they thought they were well off without understanding. People think they're okay without understanding the solemn truths of the time we live in. Their light went out, and they were groping in darkness. The multitude of deformed and sickly pressing for the earthly crown are those whose interest and treasures are in this world. Although they are disappointed on every side, they will not place their affections on heaven and secure to themselves a treasure and a home there. Many people, after acquiring a lot of wealth, are not happy and are sorely lost mentally. I mean, they happiness escapes them, that they think they're going to have if they have two or three homes, the yacht, the airplane, whatever the heart desires. Yet it doesn't buy happiness. They fail of the earthly. The earthly has failed them. Yet while in pursuit of it, they also lose the heavenly. Isn't that sad? You strive your whole life for everything the earth can offer. You get it. You're not happy. And all that while, you've lost the heavenly also. Satan is a real tricker, isn't he? Notwithstanding the disappointment and unhappy life and death of those who were wholly bent on obtaining earthly riches, others follow the same course. We've seen it. You've seen it. I mean, Solomon tells us about it. But yet, they still follow the same course. They rush on madly, disregarding the miserable end of those whose examples they are following. What's that expression? You never see the money cart fall on the hearse to the cemetery? Or all your a moving van fall on you to the cemetery with all your possessions? Those who reach the crown and possess a share of it were applauded. The world looks up to the wealthy, the Donald Trumps of this world. Everybody wants to be the guy that won $250 million in the lottery. They applaud that. They look up for it. They desire it. Are those who obtain that which is the whole aim of their life and riches, they look up to these people that's been their whole aim. They receive that honor which the world bestows upon them who are rich. They have influence in the world. Satan and his evil angels are satisfied. They know that such are surely theirs, and that while they are living in rebellion against God, they are Satan's powerful agents. Now the black balls, which were thrown after the saints, were the reproachful falsehoods, lies, put in circulation concerning God's people by those who love and make a lie. We should take the greatest care to live a blameless life and abstain from all appearances of evil. And then it is our duty to move boldly forward and pay no regard to the reproachful falsehoods of the wicked. We should live blamelessly. You want to be careful what you look at on the internet. You want to be careful what you say on Facebook and the emails. Unless you want a federal prosecutor bringing it up in court someday. While the eyes of the righteous are fixed upon the heavenly priceless treasure. They will become more and more like Christ, and thus they will be transformed and fitted for translation. Well, I thought that was an interesting discussion on money and the chase for it. I'll close with this little story here. It was reported that 11 millionaires went down on Titanic. Major A.H. Puchin left $300,000 in money, jewelry, and securities in a box in his cabin when he left his room. He left that in there. He says, he later said this, "The money seemed a mockery at that time." He later said, "I picked up three oranges instead." It really put money in its value, proper value, didn't it? The difference between rich and having money, a father told his family, "We are rich now. We do not have to wait on money. We are already rich, rich in Christ. If you keep your heart in heaven, soon you will follow it there." Amen.